have something this morning that is a serious subject. It's large enough that there's no way I can finish it in one setting, even if we don't pay attention to the clock. You'd want me to quit after a while. So we desire your prayers that the Lord will have mercy and help us out. Let's go to Matthew, the 13th chapter, please. Matthew 13, 13. Get a starting point here. This is not my text, really, but it'd be a starting point. It said, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see and see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they've closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, I want to talk on the subject of vision this morning. I'm going to use the word seeing most, but I'm going to use the word vision some too. If I wanted to take your vision from you this morning, would you give it to me? Do you like your vision? Without vision, we'd all be in trouble. If I give you $1 million for your eyes, would you sell them to me? 2 million. What about 3, 4, 5? How about 1 billion? Now, I'm asking a question because this natural vision that we are born with, and some of our eyes are not as good as they used to be. I've worn glasses for a number of years now. But the bottom line is, we put a high priority on our eyes. And if our eyes start giving trouble, we'll take and go to an eye specialist and have it checked out to see just, you know, what we need to do here. Well, you need glasses so-and-so, and that remedies the problem. And we go on for several years, and we have our eyes checked periodically, and glasses changed and so forth, and we appreciate that. But, folks, we need to put a high priority on our vision spiritually, too. Our spiritual vision is worth more to us than our natural vision, in a sense of the word. Because if we're going to get to heaven, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, there's going to have to be a vision that you and I have that helps us to see and understand and work through the Word of God, learn and see God, see His creation, see the things that He does, and being able to put that all together and live that a way that's pleasing to Him. So your spiritual vision is very, very important. That's why the devil's putting such a high price on stealing people's vision. And he may start out, and your vision and mine deteriorate somewhat over the years. I think I started wearing glasses when I was 44, so that'd be about 25 years ago. And it's gotten a little bit worse. But the bottom line, the devil works to take people's vision, and he doesn't care how long it takes. If he can get it right down at the end and destroy somebody and take them to hell, that's what he wants to do. But he'll also work in a vast prayer, and that's what this is talking about here. He said, I speak unto this world because they see, but seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled. By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Why? Because the people's heart is wax gross. It's fat. It is in a position that it can't do what it would do otherwise. So this morning, the world today, the people's hearts, their eyes, and their ears are not working properly. And God's not doing, He's working with them per se, but He really wants to feed those of us that want to be fed. He wants to open and reveal those that are spiritually able to get a hold of what he's after. Have you sisters ever made a meal, set it down before the children, and they wouldn't eat it? Well, it kind of bothered you a little bit, didn't you? Had a child one time years ago, Rebecca and I was married, and I think our two girls was up, I don't know how they were, 3 or 4 or 5. We were sitting at a table, and this child went over, and Mama had a nice meal that she had fixed for all of us, and went over, and he got a spoonful, and he pulled that spoonful back, and he flipped that food, and went right over wife's plate, and landed right next to mine. He didn't want to eat it. Listen, folks, today the devil's doing some of that with people today. They're not taking. They think, well, I know what the Word of God is, but they're blind. And their vision is in such a shape they really don't understand what the scripture's saying. So they're running around in a stupefied state. And let me tell you, God's not going to bless them with the depths of the Word of God because he's wasting his time. They don't want it. They're not interested in it. All right, let's go to Exodus 3. Exodus, the 3rd chapter. So just how valuable, young people, I want to beg you this morning. Your spiritual vision is worth more than anything else. And we need to cherish it. We need to appreciate it. We need to thank the Lord that he come down and dealt with us. Now Moses, 3rd chapter of Exodus, 1st verse. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame and fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, which why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses, he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from the place, off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. Now this morning, Lord help us to see God, to get a vision of God, to really know who God is. He turned aside. He saw this bush burning. Listen, what would it take to get our attention and for us to be led and worked with by the Spirit of God? Have you ever doubted something and yet the Lord may be trying to deal with you? Just how much does he have to do to really get your attention? If a wife made a steak and she's pretty good at making steaks, it'd get my attention real quick. If the Lord gave me a spiritual steak, it'd get my attention real quick. He wants to get our attention. He wants us to look at him. He wants us to be led and guided by the Spirit of God. He wants us to be blessed in the depths of our soul. And to do that, we're going to have to get a vision of who Christ is. I saw him that time in Oregon, 1985. He pointed to me and he said, I died for you, child. I will never forget that. I saw a vision of the Christ Almighty. Listen, Moses was fixing to go and do something. And he was going to go through some hard places. And the Lord wanted him to know for a fact, without a shadow of a doubt, that this is going to be something that I want you to do. You're going to hit some hard places. Listen, folks, God can work with us, call us and deal with us. And we may hit some hard places. But if we've seen Christ, if we know without a shadow of a doubt that is God that is leading you and I, we can go through it and do it by the grace of God. In 1975, the Lord was, well, I was looking for a wife, if you want to say it that way. And I'd gone down to LaRonge, Louisiana, now to Hammond, Louisiana, for a meeting. And there's pretty girls down there, including the one I eventually married the first time. Rebecca was there. And I went down there and I come back home and the Lord had been dealing with me, calling me to the ministry. And I had been kind of just, didn't want to preach, wasn't interested in preaching. And so I was kind of holding back, but yet I was wanting the will of God at the same time too. And the Lord, one morning when I was getting ready for work, he stood right here on my side and he spoke to me so plain, as just like I'm speaking to you. He said, if you're going to be a minister for me, you let me pick your companion. You let me do it. And I'm going to tell you, that was so real to me. I've never doubted my calling. I never doubted my first marriage because I knew what God was doing. See, and Moses here, the Lord knew it was going to be tough. He wanted him to know exactly by the very presence and the very workings of God. Well, for you and I, we're going to have to get down sometimes. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to see God. But we need to see God face to face. We need to touch Him, so to speak, and to know. And He will lead us and guide us and work with us. We need to see that God as He is, the real God of holiness and power and authority. All right, let's go to Luke, the second chapter. Luke 2. I'm going to read in the right places, read right. Always has. Luke, the second chapter, talking about the angels coming down here, 2:9 and 2:8, he said, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now then, listen, got Moses' attention, this got their attention. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth in peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing, which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it, which wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. Now then, again, this is the greatest start. This is where it all started. I listened to a song this morning over and over, the risen Lamb. And it talks in there about heaven. It talks about the table of God. It talks about the redeemed being there and them seeing the risen Lamb. The one that died for you and I. The one that gave us all for everything. The one that died that you and I might be saved and redeemed and washed and blessed and done things with more than anything else. Praise God. And here it is again. Now, God wanted Moses to see and to understand. He didn't want Moses to have to say, I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing that. He wanted him to know. There is times that God absolutely wants you and I to know without a shadow of a doubt. And like I said, He's done that with me, and He'll do that with you. But the bottom line here, He wanted to lead these shepherds. He wanted to guide them. He wanted them to know that Jesus the Christ, that had been prophesied for hundreds of years, He wanted them to know for a fact, without a shadow of a doubt, that this had come to pass, that He was in Bethlehem, and they was to go see Him and be with Him, and then depart spreading it abroad. Telling it. Listen, God still wants people to see Jesus. He still wants people to understand that this is a risen Lamb. This is the one that was born, lived, died, and arose that you and I can go to heaven. He wants us to see that. He wants us to see that this is the virgin birth. Our world is so mixed up anymore. Religious bodies are so mixed up anymore. They do not have, because they don't see this like it is. They need to see Christ as He is. They need to see the Bible as it is. And to do that, like I said, they're going to have to get their eyes into a place where they can see, bless your heart. And the Lord will do that if they'll allow Him to do it. Let's go to 10th chapter of Luke. 10th chapter of Luke. And about the 23rd verse, 10 and 23 of Luke. And He turned unto them, and He turned him unto His disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, no, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Now then, in Psalms 36 and 9, Psalms 36 and 9, there's a scripture here that I want to tie into this thought right here. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. You and I can't do anything without the light of God. Absolutely nothing. God has to come upon the scene, and he has to begin to work with us. You and I can't even see that we're sinners until he begins to deal with us, to call after us and to work with us. He must make it revealed to you and I that we're lost and undone. And there was a man one time in a meeting, and it was a deal, and he had been drinking some and different things, but he come into the service. He was alcoholic. I don't know if he was drinking that night, but he came into the service. He sat in the back of this revival meeting, and the Lord was working in that service. And the Lord was dealing with him, and there was two lights up here. And two kind of lights, and they kind of had a way about them. And it said, God is love, with each one of those lights. And the preacher got up, and he preached a message and laid it out. And the man come to the altar, and the preacher said, well, what did I say to get you down here? And he looked at him, he said, you didn't say nothing. And he pointed to those lights. God is love. I'm going to tell you, when people see the love of God, when they begin to feel, when they begin to open up and say, hey, God does love me. Molly has told me that the devil told her that God didn't love her. The devil deceived her for years with that thought. God don't love you. He doesn't love you. Rebecca Ann had a hard time believing God loved her. I mean, I'm telling you what my wives have told me. He had a hard time really believing that God really loved. Listen, the Lord loves you and I. He loves us so much that he gave his life on the cross. He shed his blood. He done everything that he needed to do to bring about a plan of salvation whereby you and I could be redeemed. And we need to see that. We're blessed because you and I that are living for God this morning, we're blessed because we see things that they wanted to see. We hear things that they wanted to hear. We can see it. We can perceive it. Why? Because we're a child of God. And he opens it up to us. He spends time teaching us. Listen, folks, think about it. You know, we went to school. We were in school. Had maybe 30 in a class and a teacher. God deals with billions of people around the world. Not just one classroom. He deals with them 24 hours a day. He could be dealing with me in my bedroom. And I'd be praying and seeking God. And meeting with somebody in Africa. And somebody in Egypt. And somebody in Germany. And Russia. And China. He can deal with all of them at the same time. And get the same message across to them that they need to know. Because he wants them to do what he wants them to do. So Lord, help us this morning to see. To see what he has for you and I. His light. We see light because of his light. He opens it up. Now, natural light's nice. This light here is nice. But I'm going to tell you, the spiritual light is the one that I really revel in. That's the one that can really fire this preacher up. I mean, he can come down and it don't take him very long for him to take and begin to shine some light on something and start illuminating that. And this old boy gets excited. I may cry, but I'm excited. I may shout. He done it to me in Alabama here recently. And I down in Brother Marshall's basement. And he started dealing with me and working with me. And I was so blessed. I wanted to just start shouting. But I knew I'd wake Molly up. I knew I'd wake Paige up and probably wake them up upstairs. I couldn't do that. So I sit there and I cried. I just cried because God showed me his power. His least amount of power is greater than all the power combined of the whole world. Everything that is out here, his power is greater than all of that. It don't take much power of his power to do anything he needs to do. Some people say, well, Let me tell you something. Sister Ann's going back. She is in trouble now in her body. Do you know what the first message that young lady preached when she started preaching? I heard it. I was there at her wedding. About 2 weeks later, she preached her first message. You probably don't know. She preached on the power of God. I can't tell you what all she said, but I remember her topic. And it was a good little message. I'm going to tell you today, the Lord wants you and I to see His power. He wants you and I to realize that He's got power to help you and I in any way that we need. My grace is sufficient. Let's put it in another term. My power is sufficient. Listen, He don't have to struggle. I've been in them jets over and over through the years. And I love the takeoff because I can see them pilots when they go through the tarmac and they make a turn on the runway and they reach up there, and to me they reach up and they grab those throttles and they start pulling them down. And when they do, the big old engines start roaring. And when they start roaring, I get excited. I also start praying for a safe trip. But the bottom line, see, that power is being expelled. Listen to me. God don't have to pull down very far on the throttle, so to speak, to begin to explode the power of God. His power is so much more mighty than anything. Can we see that this morning? Can we see the power that He's got for you and I to help us? Somebody says, I can't live for God. Yes, you can. If this old preacher can live for God, it's myself. If I can do it, listen, anybody can do it because the power of God is available to help you and I. And if we don't accept it, if we don't see it, if we turn it down, when we get to heaven, He's going to say, depart from me for the simple reason I have the power, the grace, the love, the mercy. I died for you. I've got the power to wash your sin. I've got the power to raise you up and out of a dead state of sin. I've got anything you need this morning. And if we turn that down, hell is our home, folks. It's not going to be an easy... Well, yeah, I will be. Because He'll just say, depart from me, you person in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He's got power this morning. He wants you to see that power. He wants you to get a hold of it. Oh, Sister Angela, I got news for you, sister. I watched you grow up. I've watched you preach through the years. I've watched your children grow up. Now I'm watching your grandchildren grow up. And let me tell you, the same God that got her to the place she is now is the same one that's blessed her all these years. He's the same what? Yesterday? Today and forever. He can help us this morning, thank the Lord. Whatever we need, He can do for us. All right, let's go to John, the 12th chapter. John, the 12th chapter here. We desire your prayers. Thank the Lord for God and Christ and the power. All right, John 12 and 20. John 12 and 20. And he says here, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feet. And there came therefore, they came therefore to Philip, which is Bethesda of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. They said, Sir, we would see Jesus. They had heard about him. You hear about people. Maybe you want to meet them. Get acquainted with them. Spend time with them. You know, if you're going to marry somebody, you better spend some time with them. That's the way you get acquainted with somebody. Just spend some time with them. See, you know, watch the reactions and visit with them and what your background, theirs is, and so forth. And begin to look at it and pray about it and see if your two lives can be brought together and mesh real good. They'd heard about Jesus. Said, we want to see Him. We want to know who He is. I'm going to tell you this morning, Lord, help us to get a good look at Him. All right, over in Luke, the 19th chapter. You remember what that is? I remember right, that's Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was short of stature, and he heard the Lord was coming that way. And again, I believe Zacchaeus had heard about Christ. A lot of people back there that I believe that has come toward Christ had heard about Christ. And they wanted to see Him and be acquainted with Him and watch His power and hear what He said. And Zacchaeus couldn't, short of statues. So what did he do? He climbed up in a tree, didn't he? Climbed up in that tree. Listen, folks, what are we willing to do to see Jesus? What are we really willing to do to see Him and everything He's got for us? I've flown on several jets. And what I mean, several different types, all the way from what Brother Sammons calls the puddle jumpers all the way to the big boys. Now, there has been one or two I've seen that I ain't flown on, and that's the double deckers. I've never been on one of them. They're your more transatlantic flights, I guess. But I got news for you. I've been in the cockpit. I've seen the cockpit. I was in there with a pilot, too. That's the reason I was in there. And he was explaining things to me. And I appreciate what he said. And everything worked out. And I got to California for the meeting out there. And didn't know if I was going to make it in time or not for the first service in Thursday. Or the evening service. Not the first service, but evening service. The bottom line, folks, the Lord wants us to go to whatever extent we got to go to see Him. If we got to climb a tree, if we got to get down parallel on our prostrate on the ground, whatever it is, He wants us, like Zacchaeus, He wants us to be willing to do what it takes to do it. And then, also, He wants us to be willing. Zacchaeus here said, and I love this reading right here, he got up there in that tree and the Lord come by and he looked up and he said, come down. And Zacchaeus come down. And he made haste. The sixth verse, he made haste. He came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. Now Zacchaeus had a reputation. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said, now see, he was willing to do whatever it took. He not only climbed up in the tree to see him, but then when the Lord began to come by and stopped and spent time with him, then Zacchaeus began to make moves to get close to Christ. Listen, folks, we're going to have to make some moves to get close to the Lord. We're going to have to do. That's the problem. There have been many people that's walked out of our services, and I'm talking about anointed. I'm talking about powerful services. They've walked out, and they've never been saved. Either then or maybe for many years they might get it just before they die. I know one today, as far as I know, she's not saved. They was in a tent meeting in South Carolina just before I moved there to be pastor. And the old general was there, I believe, with Brother Lewis Kimball. And the Lord was coming down. And this couple was shacking up together. They weren't married. Later I pastored them, somewhat anyway. And they walked out of the service. The Lord was dealing, and they were crying, and they were trembling. And one of the little congregation there, Sister Beverly, I call her Aunt Bevy because the girls did, and Aunt Bevy went out and climbed in the back seat and done everything she could do to get them to get saved. She begged them. She pleaded with them. She cried with them. And they rejected him. That man ended up with some of the most horrible things I've ever seen in my pastoralship and maybe in my ministry. I've never seen anybody come to the end like he came. He finally, I was told by another minister that was with us there at that time in South Carolina, that he didn't get saved before he died. But I'm going to tell you, he went down, down, down. Sister Beverly, they said, well, we're not married. Said, let's not worry about marriage. Said, let's get saved, then we'll get married. She dealt with them in every way. I mean, I've been told what she told them. And I thought, well, you give them good counsel. Listen, Zacchaeus was willing to do whatever it took. We've got to be willing to do whatever it takes to do what the Lord wants us to do. That's all the way from getting saved, all the way to sanctification, all the way to a calling or whatever it might be. We're going to have to be willing to say, Lord, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's what we're going to have to do. All right, now then, let's go to Mark. Mark the first chapter and the 15th verse, and Luke the 13th chapter and the 2nd through the 5th verse. Now then, young people, I want to plead with you. I beg you to understand what the Bible says. I had an older sister in a congregation I pastored
And I loved her and her husband. They had, let me tell you, I've never seen a couple draw people like they did. Just about every time I went there, they had company. I walked in one day and there wasn't nobody there. I said, grab the camera, let's take a picture. There ain't nobody here. There wasn't nobody there, just them and me. Sometimes if they knew I was going down, especially when I first moved there, they'd say, let's go down and have Bible study. All right, man,
I didn't care. I'm there to work with the people. But anyway, this sister lived for the Lord for a number of years. Had a very, very good friend, sister, that no, not sister, but friend that wasn't saved. And that unsaved pled with that one that was saved to help her get saved one night, and she didn't know what to do. She told me, said, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to tell. I want to tell you young people, and I want to tell everybody in here, learn how to pray a person through to salvation. You may not get a preacher every time. Brother Bob may not be available. I may not be available. Brother Philip or Brother Marty or Brother Michael may not be available. If you say, hey, I need your help. You need to know where to start. You need to know how to go through it, and you need to know how to end it. That's one of the burdens I have in this message, for you and I to see the doctrines are the ways that God has for getting a person to salvation, getting them to sanctification, getting them to whatever they need. And I'm going to tell you, I have grieved over that, because now then, that woman that didn't get saved is 90, when did she turn the other day? 91? 90, yeah, she turned 91. And she's still not saved. And the fact that she's gotten, and she's a sweetheart. She's very quiet. She's very loving. She's very sweet. Her children admire highly. They would do anything they could for her. But she's right there and not saved. Her husband got saved. But those two, her husband and this other good friend and her husband, 3 out of 4 were saved, and nobody could get the woman to salvation. Folks, that hurts me. That hurts me because I can't be everywhere at the same time. You can't be everywhere at the same time. So what does it say in St. Mark 1 and 15? And saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. All right, now then we want to go to John, to Luke 13. Luke 13, 1 here. Repentance is a part of getting saved. It says here, and they were present. At that season came, and they were present. At that season came. No, some. These are not my right glasses here. That's part of my problem here. That told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinner above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Of those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent. The Lord was bringing these people back to the bedrock fact that you got to repent. That's what he's doing. These people may be trying to go this way and that way. Listen, when it gets down to the fact, if you want to go to heaven, you got to go God's Bible way. Amen. You can't just go your own thoughts and your own ideas. We've got to go the Bible way. And he said, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now Jesus come in here, and he says here, he brings it out here, repent ye and believe. Repent ye and believe. Now some people say, well, you can just go join the church of your choice. Some people say, well, just put some money in the box. Some people say, well, bake the preacher a good chocolate cake. Some people shake his hand. Just go join the church and you be part of the church and go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. God gets it down for the simple reason Christ gave his life. Amen? Jesus was born, lived, and died to make the plan and the sacrifice and everything that was needed to bring a plan whereby we can be saved. He didn't say just join the church.
He didn't say bake a cake. He didn't say give money. He didn't say do this or that. He said repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance is turning. Willing to begin to turn back and give up and surrender. It's meeting God. It's confession unto sin. Lord, I am lost. I am undone. The Lord wants us to come to the place where we're begging for mercy for Him because we have done wrong. We've walked over His blood. We've used His name in vain. We've drank. We've smoked. Whatever it might be. We have done all these things. Now then, we've got to be willing to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you might not name out every sin you've ever done. I didn't. But I didn't do a whole lot neither. Stole a little bit, cussed a little bit, got mad a little bit, a few things like that. But I wasn't no great sinner. I didn't do drugs, smoke, and alcohol. Mom, Dad taught us real strictly. You leave that stuff alone. And we did. I don't know of any of my siblings or myself that has ever smoked. Never. Well, the Lord's got this plan together. And if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to follow the plan. So you and I this morning have to see that repentance is part of that plan. I was working on a job one time. I was doing a floor. Buffing a floor. Years and years ago. There's a young man sitting over here and he's reading the Bible. I was going up and back and forth and I buffed this floor. I looked over there and I saw him doing that. I said, sir, you're reading a good book. Something like that. Yes. He said, how did he put it? He said, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's what he said. And I said, well, I said, I told him I was washed in the blood, saved, and sanctified. I don't remember just what all I said. But anyway, I got to thinking about this acceptance part. You know, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? You think about what that's saying. Who's got to accept who?
That's right.
There's where the deal is. I can write my nephew, Tiffany's brother, and his mama put in I don't know how many applications for a job and couldn't get nothing. He couldn't even get to flip a hamburger. He just couldn't get nothing. And they kept telling him, well, you got to have all this experience. You got to have this, you got to have that. And he said, well, how'd I get it? Nobody will hire me. He put in all these requests, all these applications. Listen, folks, you can put in 1,000 applications, and if they don't hire you, you won't get one red cent. He didn't get anything. He's helping his dad do things and helping his Uncle Carl do things. But he's not getting anything until he got the job the other day. Listen, folks, you and I cannot get saved, and we cannot go to heaven unless the Lord accepts our repentance. Amen. He's got to accept our repentance. He's got to accept us as an individual. And then once He accepts that, then we can go to heaven. We're born again, washed in the blood. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Nay, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Young people, this is part of the Word of God. This is part of getting to heaven. This is part of being faithful and living a life that is pleasing unto God. And if we don't go the Bible way, we ain't going. Had a woman, call her granny, and she worked at a place that I worked in. I'd go in to do cleaning and stuff, and I'd ease up to her and I'd say something to her. Granny, how you doing? And, oh, I'm doing fine, Carl. And you? Yeah, I'm doing all right. Anyway, one day her daughter-in-law, something was said about OU basketball. And she said, well, Carl, said this is the fall, and when it gets to fall and OU basketball, said all she thinks about is that. And I got to thinking about that. Lord, give me a message. Thank ye on these things. There are more to think about than football and basketball and baseball. And I know you was hung up sports, but the Lord got you out of it, didn't he? You liked it. You wanted to be that. There's a lot of people who want to be that. But the bottom line is the Lord wants them to be what He wants them to be. Not this and that.
He wants to think on these things. He wants us to do these things. What the Bible said. Listen, folks, if you want to get close to God, read the Word of God. Sing the songs of Zion. I have been singing a song over my mind. Remember the one Sister Mary McDonald says about the ladder and climbing that ladder? I've got my daughter sent me some birthday gifts, and there were three CDs by a group called The Redeemed. I never heard of them. They're young men singing, and they're pretty good. And anyway, that song is on one of their CDs that I got, and I've been singing that song over and over. Couldn't even sleep one night for singing it over and over. Finally, I got up and I thought, well, I wonder who wrote the song. And I got to digging into the history of the song. I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants you and I to do what He wants us to do. And then, all right, let's go to 1 and 29 and 30 of John. John 1 and 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. All right, now then, people have problems with the doctrine of living above sin. They'll fight you on that thing tooth and toenail. Brother Michael Williamson was working in a truck when he was alive. And he was in one of the UPS trucks over here, and he was one right next door to him. And they were over there, and he heard them talking, and they was talking, well, you think you'd go to heaven with sin? Think this and that. And he was just going. So we all go talk to Brother Michael about it. Well, Brother Michael was real tempted to go over there and talk to them, but he kept his place. And eventually he said, they come over. They come over. And let me give you the scripture, if I remember right, that he gave them, John 5 and 14. John 5 and 14. It said, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you, come unto thee. And there's another one that said, go and sin no more, I believe it is there in John. Well, anyway, they come over and they presented their deal to Brother Michael, and that's all he gave them was one scripture. He didn't preach him a message. He said, the Bible said, go and sin no more. So what does that say? The Lord saved us to bring us up and out of sin. I'm glad He did. I'm thankful that this is a Bible doctrinal way that you and I can see and believe and practice by the grace of God that we can live a life that's above sin. We don't have to go out and sin every day. I don't go out and cuss every day. I don't go drinking, smoking, drugging, anything like that. I don't do any of those things. I like to live for God. And so we can live a life. And let's go to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, I believe it is here. No, yeah, 1 John 3 and 5. It says, and you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Now listen, young people, this is a scripture right here. I really want you to get a hold of these scriptures right in here. Let's see, we're in 5, 5th verse. All right. And whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Now I don't know. I don't have a PhD in college, but I mean that says abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth and not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. But he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God. Now listen here. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, now here's the key. For his seed, if a person is really born again, really has Jesus, they have the power right there within them. Amen? They're born, they have the seed. For it said there, whosoever does not, well, let's see, where am I at here? For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for God, no, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot sin because he is born of God. This is a Bible doctrine. This is part of what God would like us, wants us to do, live for him and not go out lying and cheating and stealing. I look at people and I read about things and I'm abhorred at what people do today. Some of the horrible sins that they commit, I thought, how can they do that? I'm not even interested in thinking about it, much less doing it. They do it because they're connected with the one that will do anything that's wrong, and that's the devil. But you and I that's connected to God, and got his seed, and then later when we go on and we get filled with the Holy Ghost, got the holy power of God working within us, it helps us to live a life pleasing to God. That's what God wants. He wants us to live a life pleasing to him. I can preach a whole message on that subject too, but I've done it. But the bottom line is, he said there, his seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin. Thank the Lord. For this purpose, the Son of God. For this purpose, the Son of God was born. Was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. And whosoever born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness, now listen to this. I mean, this is just good old grassroots down to rubber meet the road preaching is what this is. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither is he that loveth not his brother. For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Oh, Lord, help us. Young people, take these scriptures. Take the one, there's two places in John that talks about go and sin no more. And then John 1 and 29 and 30. And there's others. That's just not the only places. But go there and study that and help people to see that Jesus Christ raises you up, raises you out, washes you up, and does everything to help you to live a life. Jesus didn't do no sin. And I've got many more scriptures. Part of it's on holiness. That's part of it too. Holiness is part of the doctrine, and people need to see this. But their hearts are wax gross. Their eyes they cannot see. Their ears they cannot hear. They don't want to hear. And Jesus wants us to understand that there is a way to get to heaven, and it's God's way. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. Don't want to go too long here. But Lord, help us this morning to see what the Lord wants us to see and to do what the Lord wants us to do and to be able to give things. Young people, study. I have dealt with ministers' children. And I'm not talking about young ministers' children. I'm talking about grown married ministers' children at the altar. And they would tell me this. Said, Daddy taught us, brother. He taught us this, and this, and this. We had books, we had Bible studies, we had all this. But said, guess what? I didn't pay close enough attention. And I don't know it like I ought to. And I looked at them because I knew their daddies and knew their mamas. And I'm thinking, they've done what they could do, but Junior and Sissy over here did not pay close enough attention. Young people, when mom and daddy's trying to teach you something, listen to them. Listen to them and say, thank you, Lord, that I've got parents that's godly and wants me to make heaven, and is trying to teach me something, because listen, someday you might be right up here. Now I talked to one father that I love dearly, and I don't know, I didn't tell him all that Junior told me, but I asked him how he was doing. He said he's doing pretty good. I guess he listened to what I said. I told him you need to get this book and that book. You need to do this, you need to do that, and so forth. And worked with him, and I've done that in more than one case. Now then you go online, and I don't really understand what all Mother Michael's done. Never looked it up because I got a whole library of books. But you can go on there and you can see what the thus saith the word of the Lord. And then you can be blessed to a depth that will bless everybody around you. Appreciate your time and attention this morning. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.